Welcome to the Plant Spirit Podcast on connecting with plant consciousness and the healing wisdom of nature. If you'd like to learn more on how to communicate directly with plants, visit www.learnplantlanguage.com to register for the free workshop. That's www.learnplantlanguage.com. I'm your host, Sarah Artemisia, and I'm deeply honored to introduce our next guest to the show today. Lupo Passero is an herbalist, an educator, and founder of Twin Star. She grew up in the hardwood forests of the Northeast, and her paternal grandmother was a wise woman, a strega, from Italy. Her paternal great-grandmother came from Knocknashy, the Druid Hill of the Fae, in Sligo, Ireland. For over two decades, Lupo has had the privilege to teach thousands of students around the globe in the art of energetic and spiritual herbalism. Her recent trip to Sicily to visit her homeland has greatly deepened her love and connection to her Sud-Italian heritage and reclaiming her birthplace as an American-Italian strega. A true teacher at heart, Lupo continues to deepen her relationship within her own lineage, as well as many others, by sitting at the feet of and learning from as many teachers as possible, especially the plants. So Lupo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Sarah. It's such a pleasure to be here. I really appreciate you having me.
So great to see you again. And I'm so excited to hear about your recent trip to Sicily. So you recently returned from Sicily to visit your homeland. And I am so curious to hear, how was that ancestral experience for you?
Oh, it was insanely profound. In my lifetime, I just turned 47. And in this lifetime, I have had tickets booked to Italy three different times. And something has happened. So a big enough thing has happened in my life where all three times it's prevented me from being able to go. And this time I finally got there. So I have been in lots of different countries in Europe and never to Italy. And so I finally made it to Sicily, and it was incredible. It was incredibly profound. I'm half Irish, and I began my exploration of my Irish lineage and spending time in Ireland about maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And that was incredibly profound. And so visiting Sicily and being in the Mediterranean basin, where half of my ancestry was from, was just, it was life-changing. It was deeply restorative. It brought up so many new questions. It fostered something within me that has allowed me to fall even deeper in love with the plants. And I didn't think that that was possible. And it's really helped broaden my ideas around ancestral healing and the type of support that the plants can offer us during that.
That's amazing. Which plants were you drawn to particularly while you were over there?
Well, there were so many. Rosemary, of course, is everywhere. You know, it's like in Ireland, hawthorn is everywhere and grows in like these hedgerows. And in Sicily and all over Italy, rosemary is everywhere, these big, giant bushes of it. And so it's so readily available and so accessible. And we know rosemary as this insanely aromatic plant. I can't walk by it without running my hand up the stalk and giving it a sniff. And we understand so much about how those volatile oils affect our bodies and enhance our memory just by smell alone. And this plant in particular, in such abundance, just felt like just being constantly held by the ancient memory of the mother of all that is. And so that was incredibly profound. The amount of rosemary that you couldn't turn a corner without having it. So it makes sense why it's in so much Italian cuisine and Sicilian cuisine, but as a plant spirit, its presence was probably the biggest. Also really fell in love with bay, which I work with a lot, bay laurel, and olive, if my last dying meal would certainly be a bowl of olives. And I work with olive on so many different levels, but some of the plants that were newer to me that I don't get to spend a lot of time with living on the East Coast. One was pomegranate. Pomegranates were everywhere and they were in bloom and pushing out these fruits. And so it just felt like Demeter and Persephone and all of these amazing goddesses were around all of the time. The first time I ever saw a pomegranate bloom, I was working for a Flower Essence Society in Nevada City, California. And I don't know if you've ever seen it bloom before, but it pushes out that gorgeous fruit through the flower and it looks like it's giving birth. And it takes 9 months for that fruit to gestate. And it's just so much about rebirth. And so I think that plant is probably one of the ones that lit me up the most to see. It was just so exciting to see it in such abundance.
That's incredible. Yeah, I can't wait to go over and visit. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how connecting in with these places that our ancestry comes from can help us feel more anchored to the earth. And I'm curious if you could share a little bit more about that and really how, for you, connecting with your ancestral homeland really helped with the experience of deeply, in a very embodied way, understanding secure attachment and really this feeling of deep anchoring with the earth.
Yeah, I'm happy to. That was probably the most immediate thing that happened to me when I got there, is that I had this knowing and this remembrance of secure attachment and feeling so incredibly anchored to this landscape that I, in this physical form, had never been in before, and so deeply rooted and so at home, and everything felt so familiar. We had the opportunity to hike Mount Etna, who had just been erupting a few days earlier. And when I was walking up the volcano, the sound of the volcano ash and gravel under my foot was just familiar. Like, I've heard it before, and I have never hiked a volcano before. So there was all these aspects of it being so incredibly familiar, all of the sounds, even the ones I'd never heard before, and the scents and things that I've never seen with my own eyes. It all just felt very familiar. And it made me feel so incredibly safe and so secure. And I wrote, one of the first things that I wrote in my journal was, I know secure attachment. And it brought up a lot of feelings of gratitude, of feeling so anchored in a place. And then it also brought up a lot of feelings around insecure attachment and anxious attachment styles and where they stemmed from. And it made me think about my grandmother leaving that landscape and starting over a new life in the United States. And in my own lineage, I was like, oh, this is where the original anxious attachment cycle began, was with this break. And that was very, very profound for me, for my own personal healing. And I thought a lot about how our secure attachment styles, for all of us, we all come from somewhere. And if we're not First Nations, indigenous to this landscape that we're on right now, we've come from somewhere else. And that many of us may have stories that go back to that original insecurity coming up through our ancestry and through the generations when we had that original break from wherever we're originally from. I'm only second generation Italian, so there's just one generation between myself and in Italy. Yeah, so that was really profound. And then the plants, every time I had a thought of something really big and really profound, I would look over and there would be, you know, this beautiful pistachio tree. And I was like, oh, I remember you. I remember you. And it was just such a blessing.
That's amazing. This feeling of a deep remembering of your kin, of who you are, of where you come from. I'm curious how you feel that working for people all over the place, how working with ancestral plants can help us connect with the earth, no matter where our ancestry is from.
Yeah, I'm happy to share. So like that level of work that I've been doing for such a long time just jumped. It just went to a whole new level. And I teach a lot of classes on herbalism, and you know, most of my classes are very spirit-based. And one of the first things that I encourage students, whether they're in my herbal classes or my Green Witch classes, right off the bat is, what is your herbal history? Where do you come from? Where do your ancestors come from? And if you don't know, find out as much as you can. And I've encouraged that from the beginning. I've done my due diligence on my own path. This trip to Italy, all of these memories that came with it, being in that landscape, were so incredibly profound. And we can't all travel to the landscape from which we have ancestry. And we may have ancestry from 70, but, you know, I'm 47 and I just made it to Italy for the first time. And who knows, I may never end up back there. But what I did learn was that those plants, how profoundly powerful they were to me while I was there, I still have the ability and the privilege, which I'm so grateful for, to be able to access so many of those plants here. And living in a day and age where we get to work with plants from anywhere in the world, whether it's India or China or Chile or wherever, that piece of the puzzle of being able to continually work with the plants and maybe the recipes, maybe some of the songs and the stories, and speaking them every day and incorporating them into our lives, that will just help to reweave the fabric of whatever has been torn or whatever needs to be repaired. And so I think we all have access to that via the plants, which to me is just so incredibly profound.
Yeah, I've really felt that a lot too, how the plants, for so many of us, that through the process of colonization that's been happening over the millennia, that are, for many of us, the direct lineage through our DNA of connection in relationship with the plants, with the earth, that those traditions, those ways of knowing have been lost. And so the way that we can directly access that very often is through our relationship with the plants, that the plants themselves can help us remember how to be in connection with that aspect of ourselves, with that aspect of how to be in relationship with them and with the earth. Again, and I love what you were just sharing about how the recipes, songs, stories, that to reconnect with that, it helps to reweave the fabric of what has been torn. Oh, that this is, it's the ancestral healing. It's healing the lineage of what has been torn there. And so along with that too, there are many practices of spiritual protection, purification practices. I'm curious to hear about your thoughts with that, of what is the benefit and maybe any suggestions you have for connecting with these spiritual protection and purification practices that stem from our ancestral roots.
Yeah, one of my biggest takeaways from this trip is I spend a lot of time in Mexico and I love Mexico. I've always said that I must have been Mexican in a past life. I feel this kinship to Mexico like no other. I call it the home of my heart. For the last decade or so, maybe 15 years or so, I have spent more time in Mexico than any other country that I've had the privilege to visit. And I've just felt, I just feel at home there. And when I went to Sicily, I was like, oh, no wonder, because it's so similar. It's this protective rituals, the way that the candles are being burned, the way that the food is being shared, the way that the families are holding space for each other. It was so incredibly similar to this beautiful time and communities that I've spent with in Mexico. And that was really eye-opening to me. And one of the bigger ones was the evil eye. And I, like many people, as a young person, as a deeply emotional, highly sensitive and spiritual person, I sought out as much spiritual guidance as I possibly could along this path. And I've done everything from study yogic traditions to have the privilege to study with First Nations folk and learn about Native medicinal plants in our landscape, to traveling to Mexico and seeking out curanderos and curanderos that would share with me. And all along the way, I've been gifted these beautiful tools, like so many of us have, from these other cultures. And one of the big ones for me was known as the evil eye in Mexico, the protection spells around protecting you from somebody's gaze or for somebody having envy towards you or any kind of malintent. When I went to Italy, I learned that it's called the Malocchio. And it's the same idea, and it's the same concept of learning to protect ourselves from other people's energies and intentions. It's really simple, but it dates back from the very beginning. And I would venture to guess that most tribal and ancestral lineages have some type of protection rituals in there. But when I learned about the Malocchio, the way that it spoke to me and to my heart, because it was the direct lineage to me, I actually got very upset. I had to go outside and just release some, I don't know, hurt, anger, frustration, and not with anyone in particular, just the fact that that had been lost in my lineage. And I have a really amazing and deeply psychic and very sensitive daughter and a very special, deeply psychic and very sensitive niece. And when I went to Italy, some of the thoughts that I had were, how do I teach them to protect themselves? And when I learned these protective spells and incantations and the plants that were used to help protect and ward off evil or negative energy, there was a part of me that felt so relieved. And then there was also a part of me that felt angry that these things had been lost. So it was easy to let go of the anger because it's just part of our story and it's not worth it for me to hold on to that. And once I just went back into the place of relief and recognizing, oh, I can still utilize these ways. And so I would definitely recommend that we're so deeply privileged right now to have access to all of the information that we could possibly want. It's a little bit confusing because most of our ancestral lineages go back to an oral tradition. So a lot has been lost, but there's a lot that can be found. And so going back to your country of origin or where you know you have deep ancestral roots and looking into the plants that they used for protection and the plants that they used for magic and learning a song, or maybe it's the color red, or maybe it's something you've already been doing. That was the other thing that was a real big aha for me, was there were so many things about who I am as a person that were so important to me that I learned was a very big part of Sicilian culture, and not just the plants, but also things like wearing jewelry as protection. I'm always putting jewelry on, and all my jewelry I feel like is medicine, and that was confirmed there. Yeah, there's just so many different ways that we can do this research now. And for me, it just felt so incredibly empowering to have that direct connection with my ancestors' landscape and their songs and their stories, and of course, the beloved plants.
That is so powerful. Yeah, so powerful. And just how, to my knowledge, every plant medicine tradition does have those rituals of protection, those ways of, essentially what it comes down to is keeping the core energy of the self intact. Like, how do we keep our core energy strong, stable, intact, so that it's not as influenced? It allows us to be better healers, better conduits for the light to come through. And so I'm curious, you mentioned learning a song, connected with plants for protection. Is there anything else that comes up for you about recommendations that folks can work with to reconnect with practices for healing and protection?
Yeah. I mean, it's all cultures have herbs that they burned as smoke to help to cleanse or use as protection, or they had little small rituals like leaving a bowl of salt by the windows and the doors, or they had spiritual bathing rituals. So we all had that. And being able to access that with the plants that were utilized then is really beautiful. Like right now in this country, it's like an epidemic that everybody is burning white sage, which is an endangered or nearing endangered plant on the United Plant Savers to watch list. And it's not everybody's medicine. But when I was in Italy, I was burning, and I will forevermore burn bay leaves and rosemary, which are things that were accessible to me that I'm able to use and to utilize. So I think that just finding the plants that are most accessible to you and bringing them into your everyday life would make a really big difference. And then also, like, not forgetting to ask the ancestors or the elders that are still alive. Many of us don't have that anymore. But if you are privileged enough to have a parent or a grandparent that's still alive, ask the stories and ask about what happened when they were young, if there was bedtime rituals, if they remember anything about plants. That's a really good way to get information. And if you don't have living relatives, the plants are our ancestors. And that, again, was one of the big takeaways for me. I've always known that to be true. But while I was there in Italy, I felt like I was sitting with my ancestors every time I sat with the plants.
I bet you were. You probably were. I definitely was. So amazing.
Especially yeah. I was like curled up underneath an olive tree, sheltering from the storm. I was like, oh, all right, we're in communion right now.
Yeah, right here. I mean, it's just so fascinating because we have this whole experience of linear time and, you know, the past being the past, future being the future. But well, when we work with the plants, I find that there's this bridge that opens up that allows us to connect with multiple experiences in time simultaneously, particularly with the ancestors as well. So I just love that you were having that experience.
Yeah, that's what I love the most about the Green Witch tradition, is that it helps us remember, and also re-embody these practices. And some of them are really, really simple. And many of them, like I said, we may already be doing because our DNA has memory.
Yeah, and that really just connecting with that word witch, the Green Witch, and this word strega in Italy, you know, growing up, I know we were talking about this earlier, but there was this book that I read as a child called Strega Nonna. And I would love to hear more about your experience with that. And could you share a bit more with us about the lineage of the strega and this whole experience really of reclaiming the word witch?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to. My experience with the word strega is I've always used that word and I've claimed that word. I didn't grow up with Strega Nonna, but I grew up reading it to my children. They're now grown. And the word strega to me, I knew meant witch. I've also, for the last 25 years of my life, pardon me, I've worked really hard personally to help reclaim the word witch. And even in my school and in my apothecary, and I'm comfortable putting it out there and just having the conversation about who was the witch. And obviously we know, many of us, that the witch was the healer and the herbalist and the midwife and the person that knew how to speak to plants and also speak to the divine. And a lot of times the healing had nothing to do with the physical body, but the emotional body. And so the word witch was turned on us and used sort of against us. And the same thing happened in Italy. I'm not an expert to speak on all of the historical things that happened there, but I do know for sure that there are definitely a lot of people and certainly a lot of elders, Italian-American elders, who don't like the word strega. They feel like that's a bad word. And perhaps in Sicily and parts of Italy, it's considered bad the way that the word witch here is considered bad. I feel really confident in wanting to reclaim the word strega and wanting to reclaim it just in the way that we reclaimed the English word witch. And it's nuanced because there were bad witches or bad stregas. There's always someone out there that is capable of and willing to work with darker forces or may have a lot of darkness within them. And there probably is some real reasons why people stray away from those words. And the majority of the time, at least in my opinion, it was a peasant or a beloved person who just knew how to speak to the plants. So I feel really confident in reclaiming the word strega. I mean, no offense to any of my elders or to anybody who does not like that word. And I've done this dance before with the word witch. So I feel quite comfortable moving through it and having these conversations and being open to finding peace within reclaiming that word for us.
Yeah. So important. It's so important. And just in this experience of reclaiming, I'm curious if you have any offerings that really help folks reconnect with this, these practices of healing, of protection, of reclaiming what we know in our DNA, but have forgotten.
Well, I'll share with you what my 79-year-old father is doing right now. He's first generation Italian and he was raised kind of like rough and tough. And he's kind of a macho man and was real rough around the edges in a lot of ways growing up. And he's nearing, you know, the later stages of his life. And he called me the other day to tell me about how he had watched a YouTube video about how if you take your shoes off and you go stand outside in the grass for 20 minutes every day, that it's good for your health and it helps you reconnect to the earth, you know. And he said, it's called grounding. And I said, I think it's called earthing, Dad, but I'm really stoked that you're doing this, you know? And he really is. I get pictures. My mom's taking pictures of him. Your father's earthing again, or your father's grounding again. And I'm like, how beautiful, how beautiful. Like, it's so simple. It's really as simple as that. Going outside, taking your shoes off and just standing there. So just beginning with that, just that and that alone, appreciating the landscape, that which we have around us, looking into our own history and seeing if there's plants that have overlap. I was sharing with you earlier, because I know how much you love calendula, that in Sicily, calendula grows on the side of the roads the way that dandelion grows in the Northeast on the side of the roads here, everywhere. You know, I can grow calendula easy. It's the easiest plant to grow. It's honestly the easiest plant for me to grow. You know, not all herbalists are great gardeners. So calendula is like my jam. I can do calendula really well. So I can grow calendula and work with calendula and know that my ancestors worked with that as well. I can bathe with it. I can dry it. I can put it in my soups and my food. I can put it in my teas and in my medicines and do so with that ancestry in my heart. Do so with that remembrance in my heart. Do so. And in a way of, even if my grandmother, which my grandmother from Italy did teach me a lot, and she's a huge reason why I'm on the path that I am on, mostly because she, that's just the ways that she knew coming over as a peasant from Italy over here to the United States. But she never taught me necessarily about calendula, but I'm sure that she worked with calendula, or at least her mother did. And so trying to call in that remembrance, whether you know it in this lifetime or whether you've known it in another lifetime. So really simple things like that. I think my dad's really doing a great job grounding and putting his feet on the earth every day. I think that if we could do that and also call in and ask. You know, it's not that hard to ask for help from our ancestors. One of the tips that I'll give that many people may already do, but I think is important, is when we do ask to work with our ancestors that have crossed over, I always ask to work with my well ancestors. And I think that's important because we all have ancestors, or we could have had parents or grandparents or great grandparents that have passed on, or uncles or whoever, that could have caused us harm or could be negative people. And so just asking that our well ancestors work through us. Or for some folks, if working with the ancestors is difficult, just going directly to the plants, directly to the source. If there is a rosemary bush in your neighbor's yard, you know, going over and snipping a little with their permission and coming home and just make yourself rosemary tea, right? Then you get to sit with that place of the ancient memory. So I don't think it has to be anything extraordinary to create that protection. I think what's more important is that those ways have been lost. And I think when I learned about the Malocchio or the evil eye protection ways in Sicily, the reason why it evoked such a response in me is that we've lost a lot of that. And those of us that are walking the healing path, we're very sensitive, we're very emotional, we're very tapped in, and we lost this piece of protection that's incredibly important. So I think in any way that we reclaim it, whether it's through bath or song or drinking, just setting an intention before we drink that cup of tea, we're reclaiming it. And I think it makes a really big difference, especially as we move further and further into this matrix of the future that we're in, to continue to remember to come back to that place of protection and to protect ourselves, and that the plants will only offer love. They only offer healing, and there is every bit of healing we could ever need in all of the plants that are just right outside our front door.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Lupo. Yeah, so incredible. And so, so powerful to remember in this time right now that as things may continue to get weirder and wonkier in the realms of society and the outside world, that the plants can really help us come back to that experience of love and healing, that it does not need to be complicated. They can help us come back to the core simplicity of what that is. And I just love what you were sharing about your dad grounding. That's so amazing. That is so amazing. And of course, about calendula, I really feel that too. Just me and calendula, we've been friends for a really long time, So I just loved hearing that it was everywhere in Sicily. And also the importance of what you were just sharing about setting that intention to work with the well ancestors, that when we work with the spirit realm, we're not just inviting any old random everybody to come work with us. That would be incredibly dangerous, actually, that we want to be very focused and clear in our intention and who we are calling in to work with us. And if that feels a little too nebulous or scary, that we can just go directly to the plants. We can go directly to the plants that our ancestors also worked with and connect with them through that, because that will be a very clear experience energetically to just go directly to the plants. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It's just going to be very clear and high vibrational. So that is wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing that up. And clearly your work with the plants is so incredibly powerful. And so tell us, how can people find out more about you and your work?
Can I say one more thing real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Before I say that, just quickly, is that yes, to everything that we just said, both of us, it can be so clear and it can be so, so powerful. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easy. Ancestral work can be very, very difficult. And I'm sharing a lot of the beauty. I also had a lot of turbulence come up when I was over there, and a lot of memories and the suffering of my ancestors and a lot of deep hurt. And so this isn't easy work. And it's not always, and it's definitely not unicorns and rainbows all the time. The ancestral healing and the healing that we need to do in order to move forward into this future as a collective that can really take care of each other is to heal the wounds of the past. So it is at times really painful and scary and can be overwhelming. And yes, we continue to return to the plants and hold the space, or we ask for ease, or we take a step back. But I just want to make sure that part is really clear as well, because as much as I'm excited to share about the beauty of this process, there's also some real difficulties there. And we can take it as fast or slow as we want to, and then continue to ask the plants for support in the meantime.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. That is so, so, so important. I feel like this time planetarily, there is so much crap that's been in the shadows for so long that is coming forward now for us to really look at and clear. And that process can be it's incredibly challenging. It's hard. It's challenging. It can feel like the world is completely collapsing at times. And so that's why it's so helpful to have these ancient allies with the plants and practices that are very grounded and rooted in tradition that have happened for thousands of years to really help us navigate through the experience of fully clearing and healing and, yeah, mending the fabric that has been torn, like you shared earlier.
And it's no coincidence that calendula is growing all over Sicily, because there is a lot of healing that needs to happen. Because there's been a lot of persecution and like so many countries, everybody has a story, and there's a lot of healing that needs to happen there as well. And so the calendula is just everywhere in that landscape, not just for us, but for the Sicilians to really do that, be able to hold that space of healing.
Yeah, I love how the plants will do that. There have been different plants that pop up here in the yard. Anytime someone new pops up, I'm like, oh. You know, thanks for coming. You know, what are we going to be exploring together, kind of a thing? Because they totally do that. So it's just amazing.
It really is. It's such a gift.
So yeah. So tell us, how can people find out more about you?
So people can find out more about us at twinstartribe.com. All of our handles are twinstartribe on social media. We are hosting an Italian American Della Medicina retreat in Asheville, North Carolina in October, and also a Greenwich retreat. And so we are based out of the Northeast and also Asheville, North Carolina. And we also take folks to Costa Rica and all sorts of different trips. So if you want to find out more about what we do, visit twinstartribe.com and let us know. And yeah, we'd love to hear from some of you.
Well, thanks so much, Lupo. So great to see you again.
Thank you, Sarah. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for all the beautiful work that you do for all of us.
Thank you. And thanks so much for listening and joining us today on the Plant Spirit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And please follow to subscribe, leave a review, and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.